Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Matos Masei. Let's start with a couple of stories. The first one is a personal one, is when I had when I was in the Rabbanus and I had a Shliach Tzibur that was making a lot of errors, some of which pretty egregious and some of which borderline humorous. I remember this particular Shliach Tzibur got up. They were returning the Sefer Torah to the Aron Kodesh. And instead of saying Yahalalu Hashem Hashem, they said Yahalalu Hashem Hashem, which obviously not only changes the meaning, but inverts its meaning. At a certain point in time, I felt it was my obligation to remove him from davening from the Amud. And I turned to a Rebbe of mine who was a mentor and had a shtel for a long time to see if I was going in the right direction. And he said to me, David, remember, this is a person and not an esrog. And we don't look at people that way, and we need to always consider people in an important way. And I just think that, that made a giant impact on my life. And one of the things was always you have to be thinking about people qua people completely different than you can look at things. You can look at things and you can find all the psulim. We don't look for psulim in people in the same way. So it's just a story that strikes me every time, especially this parsha where we're talking about the distinction of people and things, where people are thinking about the 2.5 Shvatim say, let's talk about our animals instead of going out and helping Klal Yisrael. So next, I have an interesting story of the Magid Mizaltsev. So he apparently owned some tefillim of tzaddikim, and he kept him for a very precious item. And even though his family was living in abject poverty, he got to points where he could sell the tefillin, and he never would. Because obviously they were very, very precious. They belonged to tzaddikim. Their tefillin, this is like an important piece of our Mesorah. He couldn't part with them for a reason. Eventually, one Erev Sukkos, he comes home with his gorgeous esrog. And his wife says, "My high, where'd this come from?" He said, "Well, it was impossible to get an esrog this year. I had to sell the tefillin." She sold the tefillin. After all these years, I had lived betochak, and you sold the tefillin. She got so upset that she bit off the pitom of the esrog and posseled it up. And he was silent. And he said to himself, "You know what? I've lost my tefillin. I've lost my esrog. If I lose my inner tranquility, and I lose the shalom, what do I have? Ribbono shel Olam, if you want me to not have an esrog this year, I'm a kabel ba'ahava." So that's the story. That's where I would stop. Is to say that usually when somebody gets angry, they feel like they're getting something, but really they're losing something. Very, very powerful. The rest of the story, as I found it, was he saw in a dream from his father that, that was a big maisa. I don't know what to make too much more than that, but let's leave it at is. When you lose something, you lose yourself. You're always losing. You lose your cool. The Stipler is a story about a particular man who's trying to deal with anger, trying to deal with losing his cool. And he went to the stipler for eitzah, and the stipler says, "Listen, I have a good way to keep you from becoming angry, but you have to promise to me you just look at my face for 5 minutes." Okay? So when he said yes, and all of a sudden the stipler starts making these extraordinarily grotesque faces, really, really silly, obnoxious, all these, crazy faces. And it was really, really hard for this man to continue to watch, but he was a kabbal to do it. And at the end of it, he said, "Why did you do that? What was that all about?" And the stipler says, "This is what it looks like when somebody gets angry." And from that moment, the man remembered, every time he gets angry, what he looks like. It just, if you had a videotape of you being angry, it just wouldn't work so much. So we have in the Parsha, Novach. Novach names a name after him. He was Melached, the ear. He conquered the city. He called the city Novach. But Rashi says that that name didn't stay. It didn't stick. They renamed the city not too long thereafter. So what was Pshat? How did that happen? So Rav Shimshon Rofar Hirsch says it's very, very simple. I'll tell you why. Is that Novach was a conqueror. He thought everything was kochi v'otzem yadi. He put his gedula coming through Eitz v'Evin. He wanted to, be it through, the bricks and mortars of life. He wanted to do it all through Gashmias, and really we should be building in Ruchnias. Things in Gashmias don't last. Things in Ruchnias do. Now, two very interesting and different perspectives here about a Rashi. So, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Meisa Minyanim Achar Te'asef Al Amecha. So, Achar Te'asef Al Amecha, why is it that the Nekama of the Midyanim is after Moshe Rabbeinu dies? says the Meshech Chochma, that it could be that the Milchemes Midyan had to be at that time because Bnei Yisrael was going to say that all of the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he didn't fight because he was machanif them. Since Moshe Rabbeinu had his chosin was Yisro, he's the Kohen Midyan, and he was there for many years, he would not fight with them until then. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to do the Nakama before. And that's why you see Rashi says, Afal pi, Shishama Shemisasos Tluya Badavar, even though he knew that his death would happen after, would be Tola, he did it with Simcha, also Besimcha Velo Icher. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop. So Rav Shach has a very, very different Mahalich. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, this. If there have Hatalia, then Moshe Rabbeinu has to be very selfless to go into something like this. And he says that's it. He says, even though he wasn't commanded, he could have been Docha. He decided that he still wanted to do it right away because everything Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do, said Rav Shach, is Laharbos Kavod Shamayim. He wasn't selfish. He wasn't thinking about himself, Bichlal. But still, Moshe Rabbeinu says, go do it. He sent others to do it. And the reason is because he had Hakaras HaTov, because he grew up in Minyan, and he wasn't going to participate. So it's amazing, says Rav Shach, that on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is so extraordinarily selfless that all he wants to do is be Marbe Chavod Shemayim and do what needs to do. But on the other hand, he still has the sensitivity and the Derech Eretz and the Hakaras HaTov to be able to do something and say, but this isn't for me to do. So it's just an amazing thing to think about how nuanced and beautiful the Torah is, that you can have two very seemingly contradictory or at least conflicting views that are happening in beautiful harmony and confluence. And that is the harmony and the beauty of the Torah. Now here's the Shaila we say, Tzuras HaMidyanim V'Kisim Osam. So the question is, why didn't we go after the Moavim? So two answers are given this week. One is Nichnasim Machmas Yira. They didn't do it because of anything aside from just fear itself. And the other one is that Rus and Naomi were going to come from them. However, if you look in Parshas Dvarim, Perek Beis Pasuk Tes, it says, Ki Bnei Lo Nasati. The reason is because I gave them Bnei Lo. So how do we resolve that contradiction? Have a wonderful Shabbos.